With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
But let's go to Ryan McDonough, because here is our Odyssey NBA insider. He's joining us on the Roman guest line right now. Ryan, we got a lot of NBA to talk about, including a really, really fun regular season matchup tonight. The Warriors on the road in Phoenix tonight. It's the first of two they're going to play this week between the two teams. One tonight, one on Friday night. Tonight, the game in Phoenix. Warriors are getting 2 points. Ryan, welcome to the show. And what's your thought on this matchup tonight? Two best teams in the NBA right now.
Hey, good morning, guys. Always great to be on with you. And these have clearly, as you mentioned, been the two best teams in the NBA. They're the only two teams to win more than 70% of their games, with Warriors winning a remarkable 90% of their games. Phoenix has won 85% so far. And look, I mean, both teams have been on an absolute roll. When you look at Golden State, their defense has been terrific. Their point differential at about plus 14 is historic. That would be one of the best, if not the best, in NBA history over the course of a full season. And the Suns, after a 1-3 start, have rolled to 16 in a row. So I expect a terrific game tonight. I give the edge to Phoenix, especially at home. Again, winning 16 in a row, they're healthy. One of the remarkable things about what Golden State is doing is they're doing it without one of their two best players in Klay Thompson, and also without James Wiseman. So I think Phoenix at home at full strength has a slight edge. As you mentioned, it's a close line, but I would lean toward the Suns, knocking off the Warriors and putting themselves right up at top of the Western Conference.
Yeah, you mentioned Klay Thompson, James Wiseman close. They're both involved in organized ball right now. How close? Is there an outside chance that Klay and Wiseman could be out there later in the week on Friday when these two teams match up again?
You know, that seems a little bit optimistic. The Warriors have publicly avoided being too specific about a timeline. You know, we've heard potentially around Christmas for Klay, but you're right. They have started playing some five-on-five basketball. The interesting thing for me, guys, is I look at those two guys in very different ways as far as how they'll potentially impact the team. First of all, I think when a team is rolling, that any disruption, even a great player like Klay Thompson coming back in the lineup, could throw off the rhythm, and there could be a short-term adjustment despite, you know, Klay's two-way talent. But James Wiseman, as a rookie last year, he was, you know, a net negative player. I mean, the Warriors were a lot better when you look at their advanced numbers with Wiseman off the court than when he was on the court. So I'll be very interested to see how they reintegrate those guys into the lineup. Clearly, this is a championship contender, so I think they'll put those guys out there as soon as they are ready and can do so without risking further injury to them, even if there's a short-term bump. They're not trying to win the regular season title. We saw Utah do that last year. We saw Golden State do it a few years ago, and they won 73 games in the regular season but did not win the championship. So I think Steve Kerr and that experienced veteran group will put those guys back as soon as they're ready. Again, my guess is with Klay, it's closer to Christmas, but there's a reason I think that they've been keeping it so hush-hush. They don't want anybody to really have a very specific timeline, because from a front office perspective, if you do that and then the player comes back after that date, that target date, people the fans and the media, I think, assume something went wrong. So I think teams are usually vague with a player coming back from a significant injury, especially with Clay. Keep in mind, he has not played in an NBA game in almost 2.5 years.
Tom Thibodeau taking Kemba Walker out of the lineup for the Knicks. Why don't you think that was working? What is your assessment of what's going on with the Knicks there?
Yeah, Aaron, I mean, Kemba's been on a downward slide, unfortunately, the last couple years. Even going back to Charlotte, I believe he had 3 procedures on his left knee when he was with the Hornets. So that, I think, chilled the trade market a little bit. Boston rolled the dice, and the Celtics did that sign and trade with Terry Rozier going to Charlotte and Kemba coming back to Boston. He got off to a decent start in the Celtics uniform, but just was never able to stay healthy. So I think Kemba is, you know, somewhat emblematic of what the Knicks tried to do this offseason with mixed results. I mean, they're 11-9, seventh in the Eastern Conference, which isn't horrible, but in my opinion, they've been about a league average team. What they tried to do was upgrade offensively, thinking that the defensive intensity and effort they had last year was good enough and that they maybe would have a slight dip defensively but be a lot better offensively, bringing in Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier. Both of those guys came from Boston, and both of whom are offensive-minded players. It hasn't worked out great, and I think at the 20-game mark, as a former executive, that's about the quarter pole of the NBA season. You have a pretty big sample size now to evaluate from, and I think Tom Thibodeau, looking at the numbers and watching Kemba for 20 games, thinks the team is better with him out of the lineup, especially when they have other guards like Derrick Rose when he's healthy, and even Alec Burks, who are net positive players. So I'll be very interested to see how this goes. It may be a situation where Walker's out of the rotation for a while and then needs to wait for another injury or COVID protocols or something to get back in the rotation. But the Knicks do have, a couple months at this point to continue to evaluate the situation. And then, if Kemba's not playing, I don't think there'll be a very robust trade market for him at the deadline. But they do have until the second week of February to try to figure out whether he should remain as a New York Knick or whether he's going to try to find a new home at the deadline.
Ryan McDonough, Odyssey NBA Insider, joining us here. Ryan, 7 wins in a row for the Milwaukee Bucks. They've clawed their way back to 5th in the Eastern Conference. Their point differential, 3rd in the conference now. Have they figured out their issues? What's been the biggest difference here? What's been the difference between the Bucks last 7 games versus a very choppy start to their season as defending champs here?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to repeat, guys. I mean, keep in mind, we're coming off another short offseason. Milwaukee went to 6 games of the NBA Finals. Those were obviously hard-fought battles throughout the playoffs, especially with Brooklyn in the Eastern Conference semifinals, and then obviously with Phoenix in the NBA Finals. And keep in mind that Chris Middleton, was out of the lineup for a while. So now that they have their big three back and healthy, obviously Giannis, who's arguably the best player in the league, Middleton and Holiday, Grayson Allen has really fit in well in terms of his shooting ability. He's been one of the more efficient players in the league. Pat Connaughton's been rock solid off the bench for these guys for a couple years in a row now. So I like their talent. I like their depth. I had no concerns, that the Bucks would be one of the best teams, probably the best team in these Conference again, especially if Kyrie continues to sit out for Brooklyn. So Milwaukee's doing exactly what I expected them to do. Keep in mind, guys, the way they started this year was not too different from how they started last year. A lot of people forget that. I think Milwaukee was 11-8 or something like that to start the year last year before taking off. This Bucks team will be fine. In fact, as I look at the Eastern Conference, I'm less concerned about the Milwaukee Bucks than anybody. I expect them to be playing for a conference championship and likely representing the East in the NBA Finals if Kyrie Irving does not return to play for the Brooklyn Nets.
With Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough, this is BetQL Daily. And also later tonight, Ryan, we've got the Lakers and the Kings. And the Lakers, they're always a big story. Road favorites tonight. It's 4.5. And what's interesting about the first 20-plus games with the Lakers is they have the worst against the spread record in the NBA at 7-15. And they have the number one over record. They're 14-8. To the over, hitting at 64%. And we saw these teams on Friday play to a triple overtime. If you want to go big picture with it, with the Lakers and how things are not working so far this season, that's fine. Or this specific matchup tonight.
You bring up a number of good points. The Lakers were my pick to represent the West in the finals before the preseason started. And then when I watched the preseason, all the concerns that others had about the Lakers that I had at some level really showed. The lack of defensive flexibility, a mismatched roster with not enough shooting, a few traditional centers in DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Howard who were past their prime and don't space the floor at all. And then Russell Westbrook, who teams dare to shoot and really can load up on LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and AD is having a historically bad year shooting the basketball. So I say that not to pile on the Lakers, but I certainly understand why through their first 22 games they've been very disappointing, not only to Lakers fans, but to bettors as well. I don't see a quick fix here, but, one thing tonight, though, I would put a caveat in there. Sacramento is only 3-7 at home. That's one of the worst home marks in the league. The Kings have actually been better on the road than they have at home. So this is a tough one to me as far as individual game picking. De'Aaron Fox has really underachieved this year. So I think it'll be a close game. I think Sacramento could pull the upset. I expect a bunch of points to be scored. Big picture, I don't see the Lakers' issues being fixed anytime soon. And even putting my executive hat on for a minute, I do not see an easy trade path away for the Lakers to trade their way out of this and vault themselves back into that championship contender tier on the Western Conference. I like the two teams we discussed earlier, Phoenix and Golden State, a lot better. And then, some of the other teams above them in the West, like Utah, find their stride. If I were to stack up the championship contenders in the Western Conference, I'd have the Lakers fourth or fifth at best, and maybe even lower than that.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is your take on the Pelicans? Valanciunas has been playing very well, shooting 52% from the three this season. He leads the league in double-doubles. Have you been impressed with him?
Yeah, I thought that was a really good move for New Orleans. I certainly get why the Pelicans made that move to bring in Valanciunas. I think you'll see his impact, Darren, even more when Zion Williamson returns to the lineup. And I think that was one of the biggest issues with last year's Pelicans team when they made the move for Steven Adams. Their shooting and floor spacing was really poor. I mean, with Adams and Eric Bledsoe on the perimeter, who's not a great shooter, I just didn't think there was enough space for Zion. So I think what they'll do when Zion is healthy and back in the lineup is invert their offense a little bit, meaning Valanciunas will be lifted out above the three-point line. He hit 7 threes in the first half last night, so clearly he's developed into at least a solid, if not a very good, shooter for a center. So I look forward to it then. But overall, yeah, a weird team, a weird year. They got off to a horrific start. Without Zion, I thought they'd continue to struggle for a while, you know, after going 1-12 and then 3-16 out of the gate. You know, we look up over the last week or so, they've won 3 of their last 4 games, some against, you know, pretty good opponents in Washington, Utah, and L.A. So I'm not really sure what to make of this team. I think the short-term goal should be just to keep afloat, hang in there, stay within striking distance of the play-in range, and then hope that when the great Zion Williamson gets healthy, he can vault them in the second half of the year. I think that's a possibility, but, you know, they need to get Zion back in the lineup relatively soon, and they need to make sure they don't lose touch with the rest of the Western Conference.
Ryan, and will Zion lose a little weight as well?
That's been something that's been controversial, Aaron. You know, the guys who've been around the Pelicans will tell you that he's a bigger guy. His body fat measures, when they actually do that, are pretty good. But I think from an injury maintenance perspective, you know, him playing at one of the lightest weights of his career, maybe the lightest weight of his career, would be you know, prudent, not only in terms of, you know, for his play on the court, but again, from preventing injury. Anytime a player gets injured and it's a stress, repetitive stress injury, you want that guy to come back lighter to put less wear and tear on his joints.
Ryan, I know we had you on before the season. You mentioned the Utah Jazz, a team you really like in the Western Conference. And it's interesting just watching how it's playing out right now. I mean, there's the two teams that are playing tonight, Golden State, Phoenix. They've asserted themselves as the top two teams. And then you go from like Dallas, the Clippers, Minnesota. You have a bunch of teams between 10 and 11 wins, between 4 and 10 in the conference. And then there's the Jazz, that they're at number 3. They're better than those other teams, but they're not quite as good right now as the top two teams. Do you still consider Utah a team that could come out of the West? Do you think they need to make a trade to get on par with the Suns and with the Golden State? What's your thoughts on Utah, a team I know you liked before the season?
Yeah, I mean, they got off to a terrific start once again this year at 7-1, kind of what I anticipated. Since then, you know, I think they're just, 7-6 in their last 13 games. And some of the losses they've had this year are not losses they've had in the past, especially last year when they were rolling, losing to teams, you know, like New Orleans, who's obviously one of the worst teams in the league, depleted Indiana team, a Memphis team who really struggles defensively. So I've been surprised. The Jazz have not been the consistent regular season machine we've seen in years past, especially last year. Now, that being said, I think they still have the talent and the depth. Rudy Gay came back, you know, after missing the first couple weeks of the season. So I like the Jazz. I wouldn't sleep on the Jazz. And I'll remind everybody, it's easy to forget, but the NBA season is not won in the first quarter or third of the season. Teams often get off to great starts and then fade along the way. So.
Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough joining us there on the Roman Guest Line. Get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. Go to GetRoma.com/BetQL now to get $15 off your first month. That's GetRoma.com/BetQL. Come on next, Lightning Bets, right here on the BetQL Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.